everybody. Welcome back to the Mawa Dissing Show. I'm Nicole Bukinage.
And I'm Shirley Nordrum.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on around the community in a holistic view and point. So our title today is called Ani Nanakamigak. And Ani Nanakamigak is asking what is going on, and that could be anything. What's going on environmentally, what's going on with the people. It means so many different things. But today we want to focus more on the positive things, and as far as the gardening that we're doing. A lot of people don't know yet, but we do have a community garden here right outside the studio. It's going pretty good.
KOJB, the community radio with the community garden.
Right.
That's pretty awesome.
That is pretty awesome.
So, you know, I was visiting with Brad, and I was trying to get a community garden, a place for a community garden, and just wasn't, you know, it was getting late in the season to plant or whatever. So I was actually kind of, I don't know if I was really complaining, but I was frustrated.
Yeah.
And because a garden is good for the community. So why was it so hard for that to happen? And I guess that was my frustration, is like, you talked about always focusing on the positive, and, you know, I didn't see why a garden was so hard to do. And so I was telling him about it, and he just kind of held his hand out and pointed to the west. That he said, KOJB has, you know, that's part of our land right there. Put the garden right there. And so my, my grumbling about it just came from with a solution.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to, because they had all the clearances they need to construct this place, and we knew where all the wires were at, all that work had been done. We were able to just, he told me that we could plant that area on a Friday, and we came and tilled it up on a Sunday. And we tried to do the community planting. We invited everybody out. We tried to do that Wednesday and got rained out.
Yeah.
So we had to wait till Friday, but we had a really nice group of people. Was there about 16 or 18 people out there?
Yeah.
From little tiny kids to grandmothers.
Yep.
Planting the garden. And what we did was we planted the Bear Island corn there. And that's going to be our seed source, primarily our seed source, so that anyone that wants to plant him can have access to seed next year. You know, obviously, if 100 people wanted to plant, we probably don't have enough seed for that. But it's the start of our seed for our seed bank, so that everyone can have access to growing Bear Island corn.
Yeah,
the variety of corn that comes from right here on Leech Lake, Bear Island. And it's a Flint corn. And he's coming up. He's growing. Yeah. He's growing like a weed out there.
Yeah.
I wonder why they say that. No? Growing like a weed. He's growing pretty so fast. You could almost watch him grow. We've had a lot of rain. And so on those bright, hot days when it's good growing weather, I swear you could almost see the difference if you go check him out in the morning. And then go check him out in the evening. I think he's grown.
Yeah. No, that's how mine is at home. Yeah. I planted him this year. And I think he wanted to be planted so many.
Yeah.
So in so many areas in the community this year, because he's growing very successfully. And I planted mine, 3 weeks ago now. And he's almost a foot tall.
Yeah. Good.
Just last week I told you he was about 4 inches.
Yeah.
And then 2 days ago I told you he was 6 inches.
Yeah.
So that's proof he's almost a foot tall.
Yeah.
If very not, good. He probably is a foot tall. So the rain, people complaining about this rain, is actually doing us a bit of good, you know.
Well, you know, people they can complain about the weather. They'll always find a reason to complain, but, you know, there's a reason for everything.
Yeah.
And we needed rain. Water levels were low. People that check groundwater levels, the groundwater levels were low in a lot of areas. And so it's replenishing and renourishing itself and bringing life. And it's definitely green out there.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere you drive, the green is so pretty, you know.
Yep.
Brought a lot of mosquitoes with it. But So the garden, we have the Bear Island corn growing there. We planted Hadatsa shield beans. And onions,
yep,
potatoes,
potatoes,
and a summer squash, cooked next summer squash, and a butternut winter squash. Yep,
that was the other one.
Yeah. So that's all growing out there. You're all welcome to come and look and visit the garden. We're going to keep working on this space that was gifted to us to turn into a community garden. And we're going to build a little hoop house out there. We're going to make a hoop house out of cattle panels. If anyone hasn't seen them, they're really heavy gauge wire welded together into little squares. They use them, obviously, to keep cattle in. And so they're quite strong.
Yeah.
And we're going to build a little box, and we're going to bend the cattle panel over the sides and fasten it down. And so cattle panels are 16 foot long and 4 foot high. And we're going to put four of them. We're going to bend them over, four of them over. So we're going to make a 24 foot long, 8 foot wide. And it when you bend them, you get 7 feet height. So it'll be 7 feet tall. And so then you have room for 2 3-foot wide beds and a 2-foot wide pathway inside that space. Cover it with plastic. And so we'll be ready to next year start some early peppers and tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And put those peppers and tomatoes in there. And have that little hoop house so we can extend our growing season of our tomatoes and peppers. And we'll be biting into some of those a little bit sooner than usual with that little hoop house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's another thing I grew is peppers.
Yeah.
Cucumbers. Then I got the Three Sister Garden. What else did I plant? Oh, watermelons.
Did you?
My little boy, oh my goodness, he wanted watermelons so bad. He was calling it water lemon. But he carried those seeds around until they were planted in the ground.
Yeah.
No joke. He carried them around everywhere he went. And what else did we plant? We tried spinach. We eat a lot of spinach at home, so that's a little bit different. I don't even know what to expect and how it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
I guess I should have did my research before I planted, but I was kind of late as it was.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to get them in the ground.
Sometimes just do it.
Yeah. I didn't know what it's supposed to look like or what. And then what else did we plant? I already said cucumbers. We planted something else. I can't think of it right now, but
someone told me that actually is not too late to plant cucumbers. You know what we did is we put that list out at Earth Day and we asked people who wanted to have a garden. And at the time, you know, we thought we had access to a tiller, and we had 70 people sign up that wanted a garden. And then we found out we didn't have access to the tiller, and then we got access to a tiller. So long story short, there's one community member that has been very, very active in helping get all those gardens tilled up. And I don't know if he wants me to say his name, probably not, but I'm very grateful to him, and we all should be, because I think that he's tilled 50 gardens. And I don't know if that includes the 6 that Andres and I did or not. It might be. I don't know. There could be 56. It could be 50. But
regardless, that is a lot of people gardening.
It is people gardening. So we gave out seed. I was able to get some. I purchased sweet corn, an old variety of sweet corn. It's blue. It's a dark blue. And so we had those sweet corn seeds available, the Hadatsa shield beans, that crooked neck summer squash and that butternut winter squash, where all the seeds were free. And it was really cool. They're doing some similar stuff like that over in White Earth. Actually, they're like probably 2 miles ahead of us, if not more.
Yeah.
In their gardening, but that's
they're
okay.
They're on train and we're on foot.
No. Yeah. They're on the train now. But that's okay. We've been going, visiting them, learning from them, sharing with them. And we went over there and they gave us some beans that we brought home and planted over in my garden. They're Anasazi beans.
Oh, okay.
They're a runner bean. And then I have a bean that's called a pigeon bean. It was a really tiny little brown bean. But they've got about 17, I think, heritage varieties of beans that they're growing out over in White Earth. And
when you say runner bean, what do you mean by the way it grows, or yeah, because of the tradition of the bean?
Yeah, they grow on a runner on the ground.
Okay.
So that's my understanding of it. There's like pole beans. They like to climb up, you know, the corn or a pole. And then there's bush beans too. Now I've been having a discussion with my friend about bush beans. We're not sure if that's, if those pole beans were, you know, kind of bred to turn into a bush, or if that has actually a variety of beans. But, you know, there's so much to learn about this stuff that it's overwhelming, and we'll figure it out over time. But
yes, absolutely.
I don't understand the beans completely yet, but, you know, growing your beans next to corn, I know that's good because beans have nitrogen and the corn likes to have nitrogen. That's the whole concept behind that three sister companion gardening.
Mm-hmm.
There's companion gardenings. There's plants that like to grow next to each other. And the one that's really interesting in the wild for me is strawberries and yarrow. They like to grow together.
Okay.
Yeah. So there's some plants help each other there.
I didn't know that.
They're buddies.
I suppose I should have noticed while I'm out there, huh?
Well, you know, you can't take in everything, so.
That's what you call being observant.
Yeah, it is. So at my house, we have potatoes, onions, squash, beans, corn, tomatoes. Our carrots didn't come. Not sure what happened there.
Oh, we didn't grow carrots either.
We bought an old variety of carrots that my sister remembered that my grandfather liked. I can't remember the name now. It started with a D. But they didn't come at all. So I'm thinking it was bad seed because, you know, one or two should have came up. So
right.
I don't know if it was old seed or what the deal was there. I think we got some melons planted, cucumbers, you know, just the basics. But, you know, there's just, it's happy time to hear so many people gardening, being out there, being busy, looking at their food, reconnecting with their food.
Mm-hmm.
I was listening to a radio show, then they were talking about your palate, you know, what do you like to eat? And it was the Dene. They were talking about what is a Dene, a traditional Dene palate, what did they like to eat? And so that got me thinking about, you know, what's an Ojibwe palate then? You know, what did we like to eat? Rice and fish and for sure, you know, and then our corns and our potatoes. I know we like potatoes and onions.
Yeah, yep.
There's that talk about, you know, you were rich if you had onions. And but I hear so many people say that they, you know, oh, I don't eat fish or I don't eat rice. So I think it's really interesting to be able to explore and reconnect with your tradition and what your palate is as a Anishinaabe person. You know, mm-hmm. what did we eat and what did we like, and to try it out and to learn, mm-hmm. you know.
True, yeah. So that'd be kind of interesting if we did a survey on the Ojibwe palate, food palate.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it? Because if you think about, I know a couple people right offhand who live pretty traditionally, but they don't eat rice. And I'm like, how can you not like rice?
Mm-hmm.
How can you not like fish? You know, some of my favorite foods, personally.
Yeah.
I could eat fish every day and not get sick of it.
Strawberries and blueberries.
Yeah,
love
like
those.
That.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to see how many of our people do not eat rice and why.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And maybe there was a, you know, there's obviously a reason. There's probably a disconnect somewhere. Maybe someone in their home couldn't rice, so they didn't get rice very often. And if you don't, I guess you develop your palate as you grow up, mm-hmm. you know. They talk about that, you know, the first time the baby eats peas or whatever, he doesn't like them. My mom would always say, well, you will learn to like that food, you know. But when the first time you taste something and it tastes different, you're kind of like, I'm not sure if I like this or not. But the more you eat it, that's how you develop that palate.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's probably an unfortunate reason why some people don't eat rice or fish. They just haven't had access to that often enough to really learn to enjoy it.
I think that kind of ties into with food literacy, too.
It does.
You know, and what is it supposed to taste like? Is it taste like the fish sticks you buy in the store and that are processed and probably not good for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, what is the real true taste
or
and the real value of that whole food?
Right.
What is a whole food?
Right.
You know, things like that.
I know somebody said something the other day. I thought they said that pineapples grew in the ground. You know, and as we've talked about this food literacy and trying to research food justice and what does food justice or food security mean, I thought I was doing pretty good, but I didn't know that cute pineapples grew in the ground. Well, they don't. They grow on the ground. I think that's what they said, and I just didn't hear it right. Mm-hmm. But they do grow on the ground. For some reason, I thought they came out of a tree. I thought they grew high
Everybody
up
Everybody
in
the room thought they grew on a tree.
I don't know where I got that idea.
Huh, I wonder. That'd be kind of interesting. I suppose they might only grow in certain temperatures. It kind of seems like a very high, hot temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe almost an arid kind of temperature.
Yeah, I think
tropical.
So.
Tropical, yeah.
But that food literacy thing is so important. I mean, what does it really mean? And does it, I know what it, we talked about it, is understanding our food that we eat. But even as how it grows, mm-hmm. you know, what does the flower look like on a bean? What is the flower of, you know, what do all these flowers look like that generally turn into the food that you eat?
Yeah.
You know, does anybody sit and watch? I've really, you know, this is the first time in 18 years that I've really watched the crab apples in my yard go from flowering to turning into the little tiny bead of fruit that's going to turn into a crab apple.
Mm-hmm.
And I've made a concerted effort to look at that every day. And I'm doing the same thing as my garden grows this year. I'm looking at my garden every day. Sometimes we just don't take that time, and we need to do that to, I think that's really true food literacy, is how is it growing, and what does that need? Does it need, mm-hmm. does it need to be watered? Does it need a compost cocktail to add a little bit of nutrients into it, to really understand it? So that whole concept of food literacy for me has really expanded as I've been watching my garden grow.
I can honestly say I check my plants a couple times a day.
Yeah.
I do. And yeah. Just because I'm so interested in it. And I guess right now there's, like, I know what a weed looks like. I used to garden when I was a kid. But I'm at the point right now, like I was explaining, I don't know what to expect with the spinach.
Mm-hmm.
And in all honesty, I will share this. I planted something and I forgot what I planted. So it's going to be
a surprise.
A surprise. And it's been a mystery. I don't know what's going on with the leaves or if it's growing, if it's not growing. I know what a weed looks like. I've been, you know, weeding it, you know, once a week at least just to keep it, you know, updated. And I don't really know what to expect with this particular section of my garden. So there's a lot of things going on. But yeah, I honestly forgot what I planted.
I think that's why you have those little, you know, popsicle sticks. Or,
yeah, I didn't do that.
Sister made some pretty cool signs for mm-hmm. our gardens and some other people's gardens, too, that they're all pretty and have the Ojibwe word for the plant on there. But I think a lot of people put, like, even just a popsicle stick, or they staple what they planted, you know, the package to a stick or something so they don't forget.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Because
so I don't think it's uncommon that you forgot. But
I only planted about 5 things this year.
Yeah.
Because I planted all new things that I haven't planted. The only thing that I planted the same that I did the previous years was cucumbers.
Yeah.
So everything I'm growing right now is new. And that's why I did it. I don't want to overwhelm myself.
Well, yeah.
And I want to
learn about
get these 4 or 5 things down, then mm-hmm. I'll try, you know what I mean?
Right.
So that's why I did that, but I honestly forgot what that...
You know what happened this week, too, that was so refreshing? Is, you know, we have chickens, right? Chickens are laying a ton of eggs. The shells are a little weak. They need some calcium.
Yeah.
You feed them, I think it's ground oyster shells or something like that. So, you know, as we're looking at the shells, we see that they need that. But we've been giving the eggs away to friends and elders and just delivering eggs in the morning before we come to work. So a friend... asked if they could have some eggs, so we don't even have cartons. We just piled a big bunch in a bread pan, and we went and saw her before we came to work, and my nephew went to his class, so it was really early morning. We went to her house, and we brought her these eggs, and what was really cool is we were sitting there visiting while the coffee was being made, and she said, "Do you want to go out to the garden?" And I hadn't visited someone that said, "Let's go out to the garden," for a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's been since my sister-in-law, you know, it's probably been 20 years since somebody said that to me, let's go out to the garden while we were visiting. So we went out to her garden and, you know, she had planted something as you did. She wasn't sure what it was. So she has something like that in her garden. She had one carrot that was coming up, you know, what happened to the others. So we had this whole discussion and we stood in the garden and visited. And I remember doing that as a kid. And I hadn't done that for a long time. So that was really cool and refreshing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, yeah, this stuff is catching on. It's
one,
cool.
One thing we used to do when we were kids was we knew this family and they were pretty well off. You know, they had, they're pretty comfortable, sitting pretty comfortably financially, and they had a beautiful home. And so their garden was real big, you know, and their kids were so busy and they're, you know, starting to go off to college. And so through these, this family, we met a lot of other well-off families. And they used to pay us to tend to their gardens when they'd go on travel.
Oh, yeah?
And they would go to, you know, like Florida every year for like a month and a half. So they would pay us to watch their gardens. So a lot of the work when I was a kid was tending to these gardens, and I'd clean these houses for these rich people. And I'd always give my parents half of whatever I made, or even sometimes most of it or all of it. And every now and then I got to do something real nice for the, you know, like bring us, go get ice cream or something like that. Mm-hmm. But that's how I stayed employed as a kid. And it, I mean, they probably paid me nothing next to
probably.
Nothing.
Probably. That's
to
pretty me, cool, was, though. You got experience.
I did. Yeah. So I'm, it's all, you know, it's coming back to me. And,
that's pretty cool.
I probably knew their gardens better than them.
You probably did.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure I did, because I would come, they would come back and we'd kind of recap them on what was going on and what's been coming up and what's growing good, what's not. And
yeah. So the gardens are definitely part of what's going on in our community. Mm-hmm. We're planning a berry camp for the youth. There's only, we have to limit the numbers of kids that can come, because there's only so much of us, and you want to have a quality experience for the kids, right?
Yeah.
So there's going to be a few youth from Leech Lake, a few from Red. It's going to be over in White Earth, and there's some group of youth coming from the Metro. The Dream of Wild Health Garden Warriors are coming up to, we're planning this berry camp. And so we're going to have a lot of fun there. We're going to actually go out picking berries and can some berries with the youth. Can them into either, depending on how much we get, sauces or jellies. Mm-hmm. We're going to, you know, use a water bath thing that they have over there in White Earth. So we're just going to camp out and do this out basically in the woods.
Yeah.
We're going to be making some hominy and eating good, some archery, some survival bracelet making, some fishing. Just coming together for basically 2 days. And share this experience, and that's going to be a blast. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Sounds like it. But just because you can only limit the youth this year doesn't mean we can't do this again next year.
That's the thing. We want to keep doing it. We want to do it more, but there's only so much time and so many resources to do this, you know. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's better to have quality, make sure everyone's safe. I mean, we are working with fire. We're going to be fishing. We're going to be going out and... So you have to think about the safety of the youth as well, too, you know?
Right, right.
So we do have to limit it, but, you know, we've done these fish smoking camps and things like that. And in the past, we haven't limited, but it can get kind of crazy, you know? Mm-hmm. I love that there's so many people that want to come, but when you have to have the right adult-to-youth ratio to make sure that, one, everybody's actually learning, and two, everybody's safe, you know.
Yep.
So, unfortunate that we have to limit the participants, but that's going on. I also thought it was pretty cool that I saw that folks gathered over in White Earth yesterday at the Rice Lake Landing to celebrate Wild Rice. Mm-hmm. They're worried about a proposed pipeline route that would come very near their wild rice and their waters and everything that they care for.
It's actually going to go through a lot of beds, isn't it? Or
I don't know if it's going to go through
a lot of beds.
It has the potential to.
Okay.
Has the potential to. And so they got together over there and it was some beautiful pictures. I had wanted to go join them, but wasn't able to do that. I had to help my nephew out and couldn't go over there. But I was with them in spirit.
Yeah.
Looked like a beautiful day. There was a lot of youth. Good to see the youth. There were elders. There were just a nice gathering of people celebrating the race.
It was
remembering
a beautiful
the race.
Day yesterday. It was. I had a nice little breeze to the, it wasn't real hot either.
It was, yeah. The weatherman told them it was going to rain on them, and it didn't. They had a good time. So that was beautiful to see. Saw a picture of my friend at the edge of the water with his drum singing. And people had their rice poles with ribbons tied to the end of them. And just a nice ceremony.
Yeah.
That's the positive influence of our respect and honor of our relationship with the earth that keeps us strong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's good to... it's good to see people gathering like that, and it's good to participate in those gatherings, you know?
Right.
Even if you didn't know somebody that was there and you heard that was going on, I would encourage you to support them and support the rice and be there for those times when we're remembering the gifts that we were given.
I once told some, actually it was my daughter. And she was talking to me about rice. She's like, I want to go racing next fall. I said, okay, we'll go racing. And we started talking about the rice. And she's like, yeah, because we need to remember the rice. And I said, yeah, we do. You know, and I'm just like, okay, I kind of dig this conversation. anyway, I was thinking, and I told her, I don't know why that came to me, but I said, you know what? The rice is the reason we're here.
Yep.
If it weren't for the rice and the prophecies and the stories that our ancestors listened to at that time, we wouldn't even be in this area.
Yep.
And I thought about that a lot. I was like, huh, I didn't even really expect myself to say something like that. But the more I think about it, the more it's true. And when the elder that said, we no longer put those tobacco ties out on the lake before we race. And he was talking about the inlets, right? Mm-hmm. Where we go out. And I've been asking around since. And nobody's remembered those. He said when he first came here, he remembers them, though.
The tying the rice or just putting a tobacco tie on?
Just putting, he said they would, it would be tied, uh-huh. A bundle would be tied to a rice, like a stalk.
Mm-hmm.
It wouldn't be wrapped around a lot of rice, but it'd be wrapped around one, you know.
Yeah.
So when they would go in, they'd see that bundle.
I saw that at Waiterth.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's good. That's really good. But I've been asking around Leech, and nobody has remembered.
Well, then you better do that before you go out with your daughter, huh?
Yeah. That's what I don't know how to do it, though. You know, and that's why I've been asking around, like, so we can, us young folks, there's a lot of young people who rice.
Yeah.
And... with the Take a Kid Racing deal. And
I think I know who you can ask about that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing is remembering, you know, somebody somewhere remembers.
Yep.
And that's why conversations and visiting with each other and remembering what we do and the way we do it and why we do it so important.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of good things happening in our communities. I love all the good things that I hear about and see about every day.
Yeah.
You know, I hear about bad things too, but I don't think about them. I focus on the positive things, and just makes life a whole lot better.
Mm-hmm.
Just keep it real and keep it positive.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's going to wrap up our show today. Miigwech bizendawi ag minua. Miigwech for listening.